everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush. And today's guest is really cool. I got to be honest. I'm kind of starstruck over this one. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Broker Carrier Summit, and it's a tremendous event. And this gentleman was on the stage, took the stage, gave a chat. And when the show ended, as trade shows want to do, I got a survey that said, hey, what advice would you give for changing things up? What can we do to improve the show? And my only answer was, holy mother of God, make this guy the keynote. He's terrific. He's brilliant. He's wonderful. He is Adam Wingfield, founder and managing director of Innovative Logistics Group. Adam, welcome to Hammer Down.
Thanks, Mike, for the wonderful words, and thanks for having me today.
I try to be hype man for my guests, and in your case, I think I'm underselling it. Let's get right into it, man. Tell me about the company.
Yeah, so back in 2006, I had an epiphany. I started as a long-haul trucker a long time ago, back in 2000. And I'll never forget back in 2006, I had an epiphany in the middle of the night in Joplin, Missouri, as I was taking my break. And the name Innovative Logistics Group just came to mind. So I immediately went inside that morning. They had that little sign shop where you can go in and get little decals and stuff put on the truck. I went in and I got it made, and I remember putting it under my bunk and just kind of having it then, but the whole idea was birthed then. You know, the biggest thing, we were an asset-based carrier, just focused on assets, and my vision and my goal was to run and manage 100 trucks. Well, the more I got into it, the more I done it, and the more I had visibility to it, the more I saw there was a bigger need and a bigger purpose and intentionality for me, and I think my intentionality and purpose has always been coaching. So I remember when I took my first hand at being a known operator, I remember that process and what that looked like. And I just remember seeing all of my peer owner operators in there just not having the educational resources that they needed. So my passion is in to pour back into people. So, you know, obviously we've evolved the company more and towards an educational based platform. And, you know, here we are, you know, 24 years later.
Adam, who's your perfect customer? We're going to delve into a lot of the terms you touched on, but who's sort of your perfect customer? Who are you most interested in helping?
Our perfect customer is the 95% of the entire capacity in truckload, which is under 5 trucks. You know, we look for the small carrier, the mom and pop, the owner operator. That's our ideal customer. And the reason why is because, yeah, I came from a mega carrier and I had the opportunity to work behind the scenes in a mega carrier and focus on things that they focus on in order to maintain profitability. Some of those things, and one of the things that I learned from that, if you want success, repeat those that are already successful in what they're doing. So taking those same principles or similar principles and putting them into the small carrier space is what we've always had a passion on. So our goal is to really focus on that niche capacity, that three to five truck capacity per person or persons, and really give them the tools that they can be better as far as profitability, compliance, and resource base. And just teaching them overall how to be better business owners. Because I'll be honest with you, Mike, there's a lot of times, man, in this business, for the majority of times we get in these conversations with a lot of folks, and they just don't have the business acumen that's necessary. You know, this is their first opportunity, their first swing of things. So that's why ideal customer is that five niche, that maybe 5 to 10 truck niche, because we want to provide them with tools that they may not have had access to before.
Sure. So is it fair to say, if I paraphrase this, It's one thing to go buy a truck and say, I'm going to be a trucker. And it's a totally different thing to say, okay, now I'm going to put employees. It's not just going to be me and my cousin, me and my son, me and whoever. As soon as you say, okay, I'm going to go from independent owner operator to I'm building a business, it's a whole different ballgame. And that's the point where you hop in.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, here's the thing, you know, just because you can shift gears or back into a dock doesn't make you a business owner. They're two totally different complexities. That's the reason why you've got basketball players that were great basketball players, but they didn't turn into great coaches, where you had basketball players that were bench warmers that turned into phenomenal coaches. It's just because it's two different skill sets. And a lot of times, you know, those skill sets get kind of intertwined because they don't see the complexities behind the business side of it behind there. So just because we focus on that area is the reason why there's such an opportunity and seeing that opportunity, because we see that a lot. But yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head, man. Just because you're able to do one thing doesn't necessarily transcribe into immediate success in the other.
Sure. Is there a sort of common playbook or three things that you wish every business owner knew as they grew from first truck to third to fifth?
So when it comes to scale, there's several elements that you need to consider when it comes to scale. Number one is sustainability. You know, I look at sustainability as a whole. I look at capacity. Do you have the physical capacity, which means does Mike have enough time in a day to be able to handle the things that come along with that? And then I also look at retention. You know, does Mike have a consistent flow of drivers that are consistently turning over, or does Mike does a really good job of retention? And then you got to pepper in profitability. If you're not turning profits on one truck, just because you buy another truck doesn't entitle you to additional profits. It's like the principle of diminishing returns. Just because you throw more problems at a solution doesn't make it go away, or vice versa. But the biggest thing about that is if there are things that you need to establish when it comes down to scale. And if it came down to that, that would probably be the kind of the tell-all be-all when it comes down to it, kind of the some of the overarching things that we look at when it's time to look at and scale.
Okay, gotcha. So when or how, I guess even like how do truckers get in touch with you? How do people find you? Maybe I'm wrong on this. I feel like you're not going to find a lot of truck drivers that are going to Google saying how to run a trucking company, right? Like how do you get in front of folks?
Yeah, so that's funny. We actually we have a partnership, several partnerships. One of the partnerships we have is with Truckstop, truckstop.com. They're a very, very big partner of ours. They do a really good job of bringing that to the forefront. We also partner with the NFL's Carolina Panthers, for example. We're one of their small business partners. So we do have that type of brand recognition and visibility based on that. We do get a lot of traffic through our social medias because, yeah, obviously I'm one that's just continuously wanting to educate. You know, that's one of the things that I have a very, very big deal on. And then we go on XM Radio once a month with Freight Waves on XM 146 Road Dog Radio. But those are the kind of things where people actually hear, you know, where we're at. But we're pretty easy to find. You know, we're pretty easy to find when it comes down to it at the end of the day. But our biggest deal is strategic partnerships with the right partners that have the right vision, that are looking to do the same things that we're doing. Most recently, we partnered with Justin Liu and his team over at Truckpedia. So we're looking at doing strategic partnerships so that way we can touch the customer that we need to touch.
Got it. So you mentioned the Carolina Panthers. You probably know this. Cam Newton owns a trucking company. Is that by default, or are you involved in that one, my friend?
No, I'm not involved in that one. But a couple of his teammates actually were you know, supportive of in that efforts. And, you know, quite frankly, to be honest with you, we have a lot of professional athletes as far as customers are concerned, because a lot of them, you know, obviously you think about that when you're in your 30s, you don't think about retiring. You know, you're in your 30s, you don't think about, you know, what's the next move in life. And a lot of times, you know, they do want to, you know, join that entrepreneurship journey, and they're looking for the entrepreneurship ideas and things that they can do outside of things like common, like real estate and restaurant ownership and things of that nature. So we do have quite a few professional athletes in the space.
Gotcha. I know, like at Broker Carrier Summit, Desmond Clark was there. We talked about Cam Newton. I think Karl Malone owns a trucking company as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did. I remember he did. He owned a trucking company for a long time. He was actually an owner-operator too, so that was pretty interesting.
That's pretty, from the mailman to the delivery guy, I guess. You know, it's kind of a neat little transition there. So, Adam, when you spoke at Broker Carrier Summit, and I want to paraphrase this, like my takeaway was you walked up and said, look, there's brokers here who have a need. There's carriers here who have a need. You all need to work together. What do you see as the biggest gap between those two groups?
I think that the biggest thing is the understanding that they don't know what they don't know. And let me make it a little bit clear. Transparency has always been an issue, and not necessarily a transparency to what we see it as today, as, hey, I want to know what's on the rate. Transparency is exactly what does a broker do, exactly what does a carrier do. And one of the things that a carrier and I find that comes into the kind of cat and mouse game is that a lot of times carriers bucket all brokers up into one thing. They generalize the brokers all into one category. Typically, when we have market down cycles, that's when that surfaces up and it bubbles up. And then you got brokers that label carriers in the same kind of solitude bucket. It's crazy, man. If you just listen to some of the phone calls, if I was to pull 100 calls on broker and carrier calls just to see how brokers talk to carriers over the phone and just to see, hear what those sound like, if you realize, and if I was if I was running the C.H. Robinsons or the, you know, the large brokerages that had these type of employees and individuals, they wouldn't work for me anymore. And the reason why is because without my carriers, without my trucks, I couldn't move my clients' freight, and that would immediately impact me. But then on the flip side, on the other side, there's a lot of carriers that don't know what the day in the life of a broker is, or the day in the life of a freight agent is. They don't realize that, hey, you know what? It ain't just easy as, hey, go buy a truck and go get your own customers. You see that all the time. No, how do you do it? Well, you know, sometimes you got to take 100, 200, 300 calls a week in order to try to find that customer. You got to be able to have the resilience to be able to go over the overcome those objections that they're going to get to those customers. It is so much wheeling and dealing when it comes down to listening that freight that they don't understand. So there's a lot of ambiguity on what everybody does. They just think brokers just sit on their hands all day and throw stuff on a low board and hit gongs. And they just think carriers just drive a truck all day and they don't know anything about business. So I think that's one of the biggest things. And at the summit, one of my biggest takeaways for me and one of the things that I wanted to make sure I portrayed is I don't care if you're a broker, I don't care if you're a carrier, because I tell you what, if you didn't have the other, regardless of what seat that you sat in, you wouldn't be sitting here, you wouldn't be working, you wouldn't have a job, you wouldn't even be able to pay your bills, you have to do something differently. But if you choose to do this, the only way we're going to change the industry, it's got to start with us.
Right. Now, so you've touched on, you know, the fact that 90% of trucks on the road are part of a small fleet, six trucks or less. To me, that when I, in the brokerage world, that's always been my selling point to truckers is, look, I'm going to bring you guys together into one environment. I'm probably going to help out with technology, and I'll come back to that. I know the truckers don't necessarily love tech, but we'll challenge that in a second. You know, at the end of the day, when I go to a company like an IKEA or a Wayfair and say, hey, listen, I've got an army of truckers, IKEA or Wayfair is relying on me as a broker to say, look, I want one bill instead of 500. I want to know where my stuff is, and I want one environment, not 500. I want to send my orders via EDI or API, whatever that might be, which probably means a tech developer on the backside. Those are things that don't necessarily fall within the truckers, a typical trucker scope. And especially as you're talking these smaller truckers, those are things that don't necessarily even register, right? Like if I've got my third truck, I probably don't have an EDI developer on my staff. On the trucker side, though, the same is true, right? Like, if you ask a trucker how much does a gallon of diesel weigh, every trucker knows exactly what that number is. No brokers do, and they don't even know. Brokers don't know why the truckers know that number, and it has to do with going towards the weigh scales. You want to make sure that you've got the ability to be on number if you're a couple of pounds over. You know what I mean? To me, it was always interesting, and it broker carrier summit, it was so interesting to see both sides kind of say, I don't know that. I think my biggest takeaway was people don't know the questions to ask to get the conversation going. Am I wrong?
No, they don't. And, you know, it's just kind of like when I asked a question like, hey, you know, what does it cost to operate a truck? And it was just like crickets in the room. And I'm like, wait a minute. We got carriers in the room, too.
Yeah.
Brokers and carriers. And you mean to tell me that only like three or four people in here know what it costs to operate a truck? But the bigger issue is that we want to have transparency on what the load actually pays. Well, you know, that's not the big issue. The big issue is that we've got to go back and we've got to be prudent and astute business owners within our own independent businesses. And I think that was like a really, really big begging call for me because it resounded so much. We had a room with hundreds of people that had no idea what it cost to operate a truck, but they were responsible with keeping the trucks moving up and down the highway. And that's scary.
Yep. So I have a working theory that companies like Carrier Assure are doing a great service to the broker community by letting brokers identify truckers who are, generally speaking, good actors, or maybe not so good actors, but I'm gonna err on the side of positive. And Carrier Assure and tools like that say, hey, this is a good company to work with and somebody to trust. I don't see the reciprocal of that. If I'm a carrier trying to find out, is this broker somebody I can trust? Are they gonna do right by me? To your point, are they gonna treat me well? Are they going to offer me the tools that I need, the information? Am I going to have transparency? Hell, are they going to pay me on time or pay me at all? Is there some way a carrier can vet a broker that kind of goes, that reverses the model? Everybody says, I'm a broker. I can find out if a trucker's good. There's freight yards. There's this, that, the other. There's nothing reverse, is there?
Well, for the most part, most of the time, the factoring company is not most of the time, all the time, your factoring company is going to provide you a tool called credit check. Obviously, we're able to check the financial stability of a particular broker. But as far as ethicals and requires, it's just, hey, you know what? What does the whole 360 look like? There are not many reporting companies out there that encapsulates all of that. I know Cassandra, you know, and her team down at Carrier Assure are actually working on a broker component to where they can actually grade that out. But it requires a lot of different kind of thought processes, because what you don't want to do, and I'm going to make an example, Carrier 411, you know, the freight guard situation. You don't want to, we're in 2024, and you don't want to build out a program that is so heavily based on feelings, right? Me and Mike, I booked a load with Mike. You know what? I got sick legitimately. I had to cancel a load. Mike got in his feelings. Mike puts a freight guard on me, right? Now that freight guard is affecting me long term because Mike was just in his feelings that day. Instead of us saying, hey, you know what? This is truly what happens. So you can't build a tech around a human feeling. You've got to put things into place that are that like different algorithms and things that can kind of determine whether or not the carrier is going to be something that's going to be sufficient or not. But I do believe that that's coming. You know, obviously it's not here, but in the interim, I think that the biggest thing that you can lean on is DAT and Truckstop both have ratings in their systems. You also can use the credit check function from a standpoint, at least I want to know judicially, because we've seen over the last 6 months, the amount of brokers going out of business has been incredible. So you want to stay ahead of that as well. I mean, you look at Convoy and how much money that they left on the table with truckers that are not getting paid. So I think that it's in the roadmap somewhere. I think it's coming down line. And I think the first person to get to that technology and then get it released is going to be the next richest person in the world, because you're going to have a lot of people that's going to want that technology.
Sure. And I think the parallel to what you were saying here. So I worked at a company that our competitor used to log into Glassdoor and bash us and say, it's the worst place in the world to work because Glassdoor doesn't vet. Is this actually a former employee or whatever, right? So we had all these negative reviews of it's a terrible place. Nobody should ever work there. And hiring was a real challenge, but it was our competitor logging in and saying, yeah, they're awful. And you know, to me, there's nothing in the industry that has gotten beyond that vetting process as well to say, hey, this is a good relationship or somebody that's interested in a good relationship versus not. So Adam, one of the questions I ask every guest here is, if you were to talk to your younger self or talk to, let's say, a new or recent college grad and say, hey, this is an industry that's interesting, what advice would you give that person if they're thinking about us?
You got to love it. You know, it's one of those things. This is one of those industries, man, that it, you know, kind of looking back over the progression over the time that I've been in the industry, it's full of up and downs, you know, and it's one of those things that it's a very, very niche business when it comes down to it, right? It's probably one of the most essential businesses of them all, but there is a lot to come with it. And I'll never forget an old head give me the best advice I got when I first started is that you're living on the road and you're visiting home. And I took that and this, no matter what stage that I'm at in this business, that's what I'm really going to have to look forward to, is that there's a lot of work. You know, it didn't just mean physically that I'm not going to be at home, but it told me that it's going to require a lot out of me. And the trucking industry, logistics period, you know, whether it's trucking, whether it's intermodal, like logistics as a whole, it requires a lot out of the individual. It's so many complexities that are involved in it. There's so many things that happen that are outside of your control that you have to be a quick thinker. And I think for my younger self, as I got to my older self, you know, I was able to ride the journey because I loved it. You know, I love trucking. I was always around trucks, so I loved it. But I can see where the younger generation will see just a little bit of it and be like, yeah, nah, it's not for me. So just being transparent, you know, just letting you know that, you know, it's not all peaches and roses and smiles on billboards.
What's next for ILG? What's the next big thing?
I think the biggest thing for us is we're going to continue going down the ILG university space. Our goal long term is to have an actual physical brick and mortar university, you know, for independent owner operators and folks that are interested in starting trucking companies. That's my long term vision. I think right now we're building out what we have is our digital online curriculum, our digital university format, where they're able to go in and take courses on just about a variety of everything, ask experts, you know, having resident experts answer questions and things of that nature. So that's where we're at right now. And that's where our focus is. It's always been on education and making people smarter business owners in the industry.
Adam, what haven't I asked you that I should have?
What's my favorite basketball team, I guess.
Who is your favorite basketball team, man?
I'm a Hornets fan to the heart, but I tell you this year, the team that I'm watching in the playoffs this year is the Timberwolves, man. I love watching those guys play defense. I think what we saw in the last game against Denver, we saw just a tremendous defensive effort from those young guys. And I haven't seen that type of defense been played in a long time. So I'm excited about seeing that.
I was going to say Kevin Garnett was out posting like, holy crap, did defense just start selling tickets? And you know, the guys at the Ringer were going absolutely bananas over the double team and the frantic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hear you, man. Adam Wingfield, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the easiest way? I know you're all over the place.
Yeah, the easiest way is just follow me on Instagram or on LinkedIn at Adam L. Wingfield. You can follow me there. You can also visit our website, which is www.thetruckingconsultants.com. I'm pretty active on social media, though, so if you follow me on social media, you'll be able to interact with me as well.
Oh, man, thank you so much for being a guest today. Oh, can't wait to see you again, sir. Appreciate you immensely.
Yes, sir. Thank you.